Lord, please send help now. When he gets out of the hospital, we're going to do marriage counseling. God is good all the time. Get your Bibles out. It's okay if you get excited. I can promise you it's okay. We're gonna talk in the next few weeks on unusual Christmases, unusual stuff at Christmas. And of course, this is one of the most unusual of all. Turn to the book of Luke. Turn to the book of Luke. You can say, well, we talk about it all the time. Well, not the way I'm going to talk about it today. How about that? Book of Luke. Chapter 1. Stand for the reading of the word. I'm trying to find a good spot to get started. Here you go. We'll start over here at verse 26. You got your Bible? Say amen. If you don't, say oh me. All right. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Not to a palace, not to Rome, not to the Congress, but to a virgin. A simple 15-year-old poor virgin. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should this be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Y'all say the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Y'all say overshadow. Okay. Therefore also this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. For with God, y'all say it with me, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. We know, God, there is nothing impossible for you, God. You've got everything under control. We trust you totally, 100%. We know, God, that our timing and your timing are not the same timing. We talk about a time mix, and you talk about eternity. Father, we thank you, God, for what's going on right now, right here, in a very powerful way. Because we know, God, that you got this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen, amen, amen. Say, just look at somebody and tell them, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us and nothing shall be impossible. Now look at somebody else and say, God's got this. Oh, come on. Say, God's got this. All right. Now, the Bible tells us between Malachi and Matthew that there was silence. Matter of fact, there was 400 years of silence. Why was God being silent? Nobody knew. They thought God actually had forgot about them. They thought God had forgot where they were at, thought that he had forgot their situation, thought that he no longer saw them, that Rome was going to take control, and God was telling them, I'm silent right now because I'm getting ready to do a new thing, and I need your attention totally, solely on what I'm getting ready to do. And I'm here today. Some of y'all in here right now, you're saying, why are you silent, God? Why haven't I heard from you, God? Why does things seem like they're going haywire? And God says, hold on, I ain't through yet. I'm getting ready to do a new thing. Come on, y'all. Oh, if you get excited, it's okay. If you don't, I'll get excited for you. Amen. All right. So, he's about to break that silence. Some of y'all in here need to understand, God's getting ready to break the silence in your life. Did you know that? Look at somebody and tell them, God's getting ready to break that silence in your life. Matter of fact, I want you to say it to yourself. God's getting ready to break that silence in my life. Say it. God's getting ready to break that silence in my life. Here's how he was going to do it in a big way. Before there was, he did it through the prophets. He's going to do it in a different way because no longer sage old men are going to come out from the wilderness looking like wild men. In a powerful way. Because he's getting ready to speak through a baby. In a manger. Wow. That's why there had to be 400 silent years. Because during that time, God was fixing everything, preparing everything, so when the 400 years was up, everything would be ready. Some of y'all in here now wondering, where's God at? Why hadn't he answered me? He has. But he's putting it together, and when it all gets together, and he shows you how it is, you can look back and say, you know what, God, that one, you weren't so silent after all. You were doing something that I could not see, so I could see you in a way I have never seen you before, so that you could do something in my life that you've never done before. God is alive and ready to do something. Amen? Y'all know what 2026 is? I've already started working on the sermons. I've already got 2 months worth of sermons already. You know what they are? Going beyond the mile. Amen? It's going beyond the second mile. And this 2026, we're going to go further than we've ever been because we're going to get determined enough to do more than we've ever done. Amen? So here we go. Here it is. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Wow. Wow. What a way, what an introduction. God is with you. Let me show you something here. That word Greek in the Greek is charito, which means endowed with grace. Just keep that in the back of your mind. You see, Mary wasn't chosen because of her status. Amen? Because her status was low. She wasn't chosen because of who she knew, because she didn't know anybody. But because of God's favor. And some of you in here right now, quit that poor mouthing yourself and saying, nobody knows me, everybody hates me, I think I'm... Nobody knows me, everybody hates me, I think I'll eat some worms for breakfast. God's got you. And he's getting ready to do something. You got to hold on and believe God's getting ready to do something. And he's going to do it big and he's going to do it bad. John 1, 45 and 46, Philip saw Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, Nathanael asked, can anything good come from there? He said, come and see, said Philip. Nazareth was the lowest of the low. You see, Many times God's destiny comes out in what you feel is your deserted places. When you feel the lowest, when you feel the worst, when you feel forsaken, when you feel like God's not watching, God's getting ready. Destiny breaks out in deserted places. Nazareth was forgotten, but it was still chosen by God. Here's the challenge. Will you believe destiny can break out in your overlooked places? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Somebody say this. Look, somebody say this out loud. Listen, my Nazareth is enough. Say it. My Nazareth is enough. Say it. Louder than that. My Nazareth is enough. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, because God's got his hand on it. Yes, yes, yes. God says yes. So here's the challenge. Will you believe destiny can break out in your overlooked places? Watch this. Not do you, but will you believe? There's a big difference. Not do you, but will you believe that God's going to do something special for us? So much. Destiny breaks out in deserted places. In Nazareth, where everybody thought that was the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst. Nothing's ever going to come good out of that place. Then next, we see this. I love it. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor. Favor with God. You see, listen carefully. Grace is your passport to purpose. Before Mary carried Christ, she was graced. Someone here right now, you've got so many things built up in you and dreams built up in you, and you're wondering why they haven't been birthed yet, and God's saying, you hold on, they're coming, because I've already got grace on you. You know, if it weren't for grace, you know how many times you could have already been killed? You know how many times God's already stopped another car from coming over in your lane and running over you? You know how many times the death angels come over your house and God said, not here? Do you realize how many times the man was going to lay off somebody and come on, going to lay you off? And he said, no, I need this guy. I need this woman. Do you know how many times grace has been there and you didn't even know it? Amen? And so Mary, she was full of grace. Grace was there. So listen, ready? Here it is. Will you stop striving and rest in grace that qualifies you? Gotta make it. I gotta do this. Will you stop striving and beating yourself to death and trust God? You see, here it is. I remember I went to Canada. My wife and I went to Boston a few months ago, and then we went to Vermont, and we had passports that we had gone because they thought they were going to send her to Sweden because that's where her head company was at, but COVID came along and we couldn't go, and then her company sold out, and so it no longer was in Sweden. Now it's in Canada, and so we had these passports that we've never used. And so while we were in Vermont, wife said, wouldn't it be cool just to cross the border and use our passports? I said, that's a cool idea. I said, where are we going to go? And she said, let's go to an abbey. Anybody ever heard of the word abbey? That's where they produce monks. Little monks pop out all over the place. I'd have called it a monkey, but they call it an abbey. All right, give me some slack. And we went in there, and I'm not cutting down what they do. I'm not cutting it down at all. I'm just saying it wasn't for me. Because they all came in, they didn't even look at us. They looked at each other, and they just chanted and chanted. And we sat there for about an hour, and they just chanted and just changed their chant. And swung the incense. I'm not cutting it down. If that's what somebody wants to do, go ahead and do it. Praise God. But I told my wife, I said, I'm so glad for every Christian church because we ain't looking at up, we're not looking at each other versus out here, and we're not just singing a little chant, but God's word is going forth in a very, very powerful way. But that passport, we get to the border, and on the way in, there was a French talking guy, and he said, "You got your passport." I was trying not to talk junk. And wife said, "Don't talk junk." Don't look over her, and she started talking. I said, "Don't you talk junk." And so he just handed her the passport, and he said, "Why are you going over there?" I said, "We're going to the Abbey." He said, "Oh, you have a good time there if you can get there with jelly." Jelly? All right, I'm going to get there jelly. We get on the way back. Of course, the jelly place was shut down by the time we got there. And so we come back, and now there's an American at the gate. And the American goes, "Y'all through?" I said, "Yeah, we're through. We're coming back in the United States." He goes, "Oh, just get on in here." "Okay. Yes, sir." Shut the door behind us. Praise God. So that passport allowed us to go to another country. Your passport is grace. Grace. Grace allows you to do things that you didn't think you ever could do. Grace allows you to people to talk to you that you never thought would talk to you. Grace allows you for people to do things for you that you never thought would be done, because grace is God's favor. It's undeserved. You didn't earn it. You didn't buy it. It is not. Look, I remember going, I'm at Fountain, and there's this guy here, he was the new vice president of sales. And he come from Florida, and he had all these pictures on his wall of all these famous celebrities that had bought cigarettes. He was selling cigarettes to start with, and now he's selling Fountain. He had all the Hulk Hogan and all these guys, and he just carried himself like, yep. And so I hardly ever spoke to him. I just looked at him. I would just look at him and go, "How you doing, sir?" And I'd pass by him. I pass by him every day, 2 or 3 times a day, his office, and I go, "How you doing, sir?" And I go by, and he would just go. And every day when I walked in that big office, I said, "God, I thank you for favor with all these guys." One day I come by, and he said, "David." I said, "Yes." I didn't know he even knew my name. He said, "David." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Come in." I come in. He said, "Shut the door." I said, "Uh-oh." I said, no, I've asked for favor. And I sat down, and he started talking, and he started crying. And he said, "I got personal problems." I won't go into his personal problems. But he said, "Will you please talk to me?" And I wound up ministering to that guy and ministered to him again and again and again, not because of me, but because of grace that God had put on me and that divine favor. It don't matter where you're at. God knows how to give you favor. So, get ready. I want y'all to say this out loud. Well, say it now. Grace has shaped my life. Say it. Say it again. Grace has shaped my life. Ready? So here we go. Number 3. Oh, there it is. Oh, isn't that beautiful? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Fear collapses under the weight of favor. Did you know that? Gabriel. I mean, I'd be afraid too if an angel come and started talking to me. And he said, "Do not be afraid." That word afraid is in the Greek is phobia. Phobia is where we get the word phobia, which means to be terrified. It means to be unhealthy, terrified of something. And when she saw him, she not only got afraid, but she got unhealthily afraid of what she saw. And when she saw it, he said, "You don't have to be afraid of me. I got something for you. I got you. And you see what? Divine call confronts fear. God never reveals destiny without releasing courage. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, they said, when you walk up in there in some rough places, said, "You just walk on up in there, don't you?" And I said, "But the Bible tells me not to be afraid when I walk up in there. Because that's a sign of my salvation. When I walk up in there. And I said, I taught my boys that all their life. And they said, I've seen your boys. And he said, I seen DC the other night. And I watched him walk up in there. Said he was a bad, bad man. And said he was calm and cool. I said, you better believe he's calm and cool. Because he's David part. He's David, what do you call it? David, not David part two. David 2.0. He's David 2.0. All right. So it starts this challenge. Will you let favor silence your fear? How many here are afraid to do something for God? You got to raise your hands. When we say we need something, or you see something need to be done, does fear stop you from volunteering? Does fear stop you because you say, I don't have enough, I don't think enough, I ain't got it? Does fear stop you? Does fear get in your way? Remember, let God's favor silence your fear. Y'all say this with me. Fear, listen, fear folds when favor walks in. Say it. Fear folds when favor walks in. Get ready. We're getting toward the end there because this is all about her and her announcement. Here she is. Ready? Glory turns bedrooms into burning bushes. I've been to camp meeting and I've seen God's Spirit move. I've been in services and I've seen God's Spirit move. But I've also been in the grocery store and seen God's Spirit move. I might not have been some Pentecostal showdown, shakedown, but I felt God's Spirit move. In the hospital with Bethany. So many times I felt God's Spirit move in a very powerful way. Matter of fact, it seemed to be more holy ground out there outside of her door than it was in the church. It was so powerful. Here's the question. Ready? Will you treat ordinary spaces as holy ground when God shows up? Think about that one. Let them just simmer for a while. I want you to do a declaration for me. I'm getting ready to close. Ready? My prayer closet, say this with me. My prayer closet can blaze with His glory. Say it. My prayer closet can blaze with His glory. Y'all say this again. My room is holy ground. Say it. My room is holy ground. Say my job is holy ground. Say my house is holy ground. Amen. So when it says that the Spirit will overshadow them, you know what that means, overshadow? What it really means, that word in the Greek, is the same word as in the Hebrew when the Shekinah glory came down in the tabernacle, and the priest couldn't even minister because God's glory was in that place. It's the same word on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in and took over. And that can happen in your bedroom. That can happen in the emergency room time and time and time again. It's happened in the jail. I've seen it. It's happened in the jail. It's happened when Bethany was in that hospital. I saw it happen again and again and again. So, get ready. I'm getting ready. I told you I'm getting ready to close. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Just read that. One yes can detonate your destiny. One yes. You see, Mary had no idea that her surrender triggered history and it would never be the same. You see, again, Again, I'm going to tell you about it again. Again, the same verb used for the cloud of glory covered the tabernacle is the same word here. When she said yes, it covered her. So the challenge is, will you give God one yes that rewrites your story? Everybody close your eyes. I want you to think for a minute. Just close your eyes. You know, so why do you close your eyes when you pray? Because it gets rid of the distractions. That's why God said our prayer closet, get in our prayer closet. The Jews, the way they got in their prayer closet was they took their outer cloak and they threw it over their head, and then they could pray without any distractions. Right now, your eyes closed. You know, I don't have to tell you. You got a yes that you're holding back because you think you're not worthy. You got a yes that you're holding back because you think you can't do it. You got a yes that you're holding back because you think that it's impossible. Mary said yes, and she carried the Son of God. I want you to go home today, and I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to help you. Say yes. One yes can echo for generations. And then finally, I want y'all to do this with me. Ready? We're going to say this together. DC, come on up here. I should have wrote this down. Matter of fact, I am going to write it down. I'm going to put it somewhere. But if you don't want to, you can write. If you want to, you can write them down right now. This is your assignment this week. Number one, I want you to say this with me. My Nazareth is enough. Say it. Number two, His grace has stamped my life. Say it. Number three, fear falls, favor stands tall. Say it. Say, my room is holy ground. And my yes detonates destiny. I want you this week to say this all the time. And I want you to see the difference you're going to feel from this week to next week. God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. Let's all stand. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I hope that you realize that every last one of us in here is a container of grace. And every last one of us, not only are we a container for grace, but we're one yes away from destiny. But just like with Mary, she was afraid. Not only was she afraid, but this was going to change her life. And not only was it going to change her life, but she was going to have to be counted in a negative way for quite some time because she knew not a man, but she was pregnant. This week, I want you to change your verbiage. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you. But nobody looking around. Nobody. Please, nobody. How many in here would like for God to use you? Put his hands down. That's glorious. Put your hands down. Nobody looking around. Now, how many in here would say, I don't feel good enough or powerful enough or strong enough to work for him. Put those hands up. Don't be ashamed. Put your hands up. You put them back down. How many in here would say, I'm afraid to say yes? Put his hands up. I'm afraid to say yes. Bless them, Lord. Now we're going to pray together. Father, y'all say it with me, Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy that we are experiencing right now. I ask you, God, to touch us, to help us, to show us that no matter where we're at, it can be holy ground. I thank you, God, that you know with your help, we are more than enough for what you're asking us to do. Help us this year to go beyond that second mile and to watch what you do. We thank you, God, and we know that our Nazareth is enough. We know that grace has stamped our life. We know that fear falls and favor stands tall. We know that our room is holy ground. And we know our yeses can detonate our destiny. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray.
Stand in for Wayne and Jeannie.
Okay. Anybody else? Come up here. She's standing for Wayne and Jeannie. And anybody else is sick.
I know of other people
who are sick. Okay. Father, we trust you. We know that you've got it. We know you got power and you got the anointing. I thank you, God, that my sister felt this urgent. And she said yes. And she come forth. And God bless this faith. And heal Jeannie and Wayne and all the other people in here that are sick. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
Doctor says I got diffuser disc disease.
Put your hand on his back. Put your hand on his back. Ready? Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. Lord, we know, God, there's a disc disease here, but God, you are more than able to touch. Touch him right now. Let him know you feel your healing power and your virtue. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for that healing touch. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God's good. All the time. Y'all say this. He's more than enough. And when he touches me, I'm good enough. Say it again. He's more than enough. And when he touches me, I'm good enough. Amen. This year coming up is going to be a power year. Amen. Y'all say it's a power year. Power. Power, power. We're going beyond the mile. Go beyond the mile. Go beyond the mile. And we're going to trust God. He's going to do something special for us. Amen? Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. What's her name?
Leslie.
Come back here, guys. We're going to pray for her best friend who's got a mass. Mm-hmm.